you host.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Treat.
Good afternoon, everyone. I would just like to introduce Fiona, who's going to be hosting tonight's episode, and introducing our special guest.
You bastard. All right. Hello, everyone. I'm not going to say good afternoon, because then what if you're listening in the morning? Rookie error, Richard.
It really was. Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing.
This is One Shared Brain Cell, which is myself, Fiona, from the spare room. And we have Rich.
Hello.
Off of
the beanbag onto the sofa.
The Tarantula family. And annoying as ever.
I've got to have something in life.
And this week we have the amazing Spooky Bear, which his name is not Spooky Bear. It is actually Lee.
I wish it was. Yeah.
It'd be hello, so cool. Everyone. And his Instagram is, so it's spooky underscore bear, but the O's in spooky are the letter zero.
I had to have something to set me apart from everybody else with that similar username. So
you've nailed it. You've nailed it.
Yeah, your USP.
If I really wanted to be meta, I would put, instead of an A in the bear, I'd put like a four or something. But ooh, that would just be far, far, far too difficult to explain to people.
And also just too different, you know, just a way outside the box there.
Yeah, I'm far too old to be doing stuff like that in my social media usernames.
Well, exactly.
Far too refined.
At least it's different. Yes. Rich used to be Rich Newell at Rich Newell.
To be fair, exactly what it says on the tin. So yeah, you know what you're getting with Rich Newell.
That's very true, yeah. Nothing, you know what you're getting? Nothing of any interest. Yeah, at least I know that, yeah. Yeah, so welcome to the podcast. It's really great to be getting to know you properly.
It's great to be here, guys. It's great to be here.
Yeah, we look at your content and we always find it's brilliant to go from looking at someone's content to exchanging messages and then to being able to have a proper natter to get to know someone and then really hear about the person behind the posts and the spiders and the pug dad, aren't you?
Pug dad.
Yes. Yeah. Two of the little redacted.
They are angels.
Honestly, they are wonderful, but they keep me on my toes.
Amazing.
I never thought I'd be a pug dad, but they are just the most wonderful animals. Actually, one of them, funnily enough, is from South Wales. My partner is half Welsh, and she taught, like, most of Pika's commands are in Welsh, most of her basic commands, so I've had to learn some basic Welsh.
Fantastic.
To get her to drink water and to go put toilet and all that.
That's it's quite ridiculous. Cool. So which came first then, the pug or the exotics?
So the pug only came with my wife, so the exotics came before that. The exotics were an interesting one because, and by exotics, purely tarantulas or occasional other megalomorphs, true spiders. But the tarantulas came about in 2021, I believe, purely because I was deathly arachnophobic all my life. And it was the funniest thing. I had a random video from Exotics Lair pop up on my Facebook video feed of a breeding video for Haplopus species Columbia Large.
Nice.
And I was like, this is mental. I've never seen this before. I didn't know spiders could look like that. So from that moment, I was like, this is crazy. And the autistic hyper focus set in, and I just researched everything I could. I learned that my fear of spiders was mainly from my mum, who was really scared of spiders. She would always teach me, like, don't go near them, they're dangerous, yada yada yada. And I the more I researched, the more I learned that just couldn't be further from the truth, that they are just misunderstood animals. And being an animal lover anyway, I was just like, this is just, you know, they're scared. The defensive behavior they show is purely out of a preservation of their own life status, and they're not aggressive, they're defensive.
Yeah, 100%.
That we'll get into that with my gripe about the hobby later on, but Yeah, and I just researched as all I could, and then obviously I found out about the different sizes they come in. My one prevailing love is baboon spiders, and I found out about like HMAX and Harpacteria pocropes, P. murinus, and you know, it sort of began a love affair that is still very, very strong, even these years later.
The baboons, I think, are one of the most varied looking in terms of looks of any type of tarantula. I think the baboons,
yeah,
you know, if you look at one of the darlingi to a OBT, say they have such a fantastic range of.
Are all African tarantulas baboons? I think they are, aren't they?
Yeah.
They might well be, actually. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Because you've got Togo Starburst Blue.
Yeah, Featherleg Baboon.
Featherleg
Baboon. Yeah, yeah.
I heard as well that they call baboon tarantulas because baboons eat them.
Oh, really?
Mm.
That makes sense, actually.
I don't know if that's necessarily true, but it does track. When they're in the trees, they just...
Yeah. Because they're vicious, aren't they, baboons? They're like,
They're horrible creatures.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of them at all.
It's weird. It's weird though, because you look at like baboon spiders. Take P. murinus, H. pocropes. They have that same abdomen pattern, the sort of like the spottiness.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at say P. muticus or H. gigas, they're missing that. They're just more like smooth.
They look like velvet, don't they?
Yeah.
And the carapaces can often have a starburst effect, can't they? There's often a star, like the P. murinus has got a quite a sort of star.
It's like lightning, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like emanates from the centre.
Yeah, because like when you think of, they've got like, you've got the orange baboon, P. murinus, and it's got that orange and black, and then you've got the white and black of the HMAC, and like the almost like golden black of this S-cal.
Mm-hmm. I've never really seen a close-up pulchropes, Harpacteria pulchropes. I've never...
They're gold carapaces.
I have a juvenile female who's about 6 centimetres now. She's not very big, but every time I catch her out, I have to get up close. I absolutely...
Yeah.
And I've been starting to look at other lesser-known or lesser-kept species of baboons. When people say... Oh, I've got like a baboon spider. They sort of mostly mean P. murinus, H. pocropes, H. mac, occasionally S. cal. But the last Southwest Invert show in Taunton last year, I picked up a P. chordatus, I believe they're called. And this is a female, and she is just beautiful. And they're not talked about in the same way that P. murinus are, because they're more fossorial. They won't wear
that's the mustard baboon, right?
Yeah, the Kilimanjaro mustard, yeah. They're gorgeous. And I'm going to the Southwestern Invert show at the end of this week, actually. Mm. And I don't have a lot of space for many more. Now I don't have my own exotics room. But I promise myself I'll pick up a Harpacteria species Sulaca or Ovidiki and just get some of the lesser-known baboon species, because... Thing is about baboons, they web loads, which I love. I love webbing species.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
They're dead easy to look after. Mm. They're really easy to care for. Actually, more so that I feel than most other, we'll say like intermediate to advanced species of spiders, I guess.
Yeah, so I'm quite similar to you in that I used to have a dedicated animal room and now I don't. So I've got to be very selective about the animals that I keep, which is why I've been very like specific about the tarantulas that I've chosen now, because I can't have. I can't at the moment. I don't have the freedom to just bring home whatever slings I like. And stuff like that. So, but I'd love to keep. I don't think I've ever kept any Australian spiders.
Mm.
There's not a lot that are super like established in the hobby, though, I feel. Mm. Only S. crassipes, really. Hopefully in the future there'll be more sort of bred widely in Europe, and obviously then we'll get a bunch, but I mean, who knows, really? It depends if there's like demand for it, I suppose.
Yeah. They're a very fascinating country, Australia. Mm. It's not somewhere I'd ever really want to go,
no.
But they are a very fascinating country in terms of the sheer widespread of amazingly different creatures they've got.
The ecosystem and the variants of ecosystem they have there is just crazy.
It's absolutely insane. Like, I find it, I need to do more research on it, to be honest. But like, when you think of Africa and the animals that are in Africa, you understand why the tarantulas are so venomous there, right? And like in Australia, you have your bigger animals like native that are like kangaroos and dingoes and things like that. But you you do have obviously, you know, very venomous snakes and the heathen ones over there. I don't know. But I'm like, why is Atrax in Australia? It just seems a lot more like Atrax would just sit a lot more like in Asia or something, you know? Do you know what
Atrax? Yeah. Atrax robustus looks like an Asian spider, doesn't it?
Really? It does, isn't it? Yeah.
Now I'm not scared of spiders anymore. I wouldn't mind going to Australia, but that's mainly because I have this thing now, and it's really bad that I have this without my own exotics room, but I have a thing for huntsmen.
I love huntsmen.
Love heteropoda species, but I've never kept one. And, you know, the missus is like, don't know how I feel about it. Now, obviously, it's all integrated. But I would dream to get my hands on a H. maxima and raise it from a sling.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
That would be incredible. Oh, my God. That'd be amazing.
Heteropoda, they get a bad rap, you know. Like, if you're keeping baboons, I think the venom is more potent in a baboon than a heteropoda.
I think it's the speed. The speed really sort of sends people giddy. And I can see...
They're so fast. I've kept quite a few heteropoda. And I had a heteropoda Bowie. What was it? Yeah, David Bowie. And it was literally called Blink, because you blink as well.
Didn't you have fun with the speed of an echo?
Oh, that was a Kupiani SLA.
Snailies
are just beautiful.
Oh my gosh, she was absolutely gorgeous. The most beautiful spider I've ever seen. I raised her from a little tiny sling. She was called Tiger, though. She had stripes.
You're predominantly tarantula then, are you, Lee?
Yeah, I've kept, like, I've got... a Limophelae suricata at the minute that I'm raising.
Nice.
Again, I find them to be really, really bulletproof husbandry-wise. They're really easy to keep.
It's funny to think that tarantulas are prey species as well, isn't it? It's funny to think that they are like prey animals because they have such a reputation as being like ferocious.
Yeah. I mean, anyone who's raised them for a certain amount of time will know that they're just dim.
Hell, these things. Instinctive, like, yeah. Essentially calm, I think. What's that?
I wouldn't agree with that.
That
they're dim. I don't think they're dim. I think they're simple animals.
Simple.
I think they're very intelligent.
Yeah. Sometimes I sometimes think they are more intelligent than we give them credit for, but then there's a lot of anecdotal evidence to either one. And if there was like a paper out there that was like, oh yeah, these things know at least basic problem solving, then I'd be like, yeah, okay, I'll revise that. I'll revise my opinion. Mm-hmm. But I mean, they're just silly. They're just
definitely silly.
I'll
buy that.
They're just.
I think I'm always fascinated by other people's tarantulas and their little families because I think I'm quite a fairly steady ball ring keeper. Like, I will go for a friendly terrestrial, new world terrestrial every time because I like the calmness of them and the kind of like if I need to do anything with them, I don't have to worry about too much excitement. So when I talk to people that have had, like, you know, Cupenius and, you know, Heteropoda. We literally said the word 10 minutes ago, and I can't remember.
They are quite similar.
Yeah, couldn't get this fast movement. And, you know, you can't make us the slightest, you can't give it any opportunity. Even with tarantulas, to a certain extent, they're opportunists, aren't they? They know when the lid's off.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can always get your hand, because they're in short bursts, and you can always get your hand there almost, but...
Yeah, yeah. I've never really had any issues with money of mine, like, sort of making a break for it. Really? No. I've only ever had one spider give me any sort of real trouble, and that was an Ornithoctinus aureotibialis Thai goldfinch.
Oh, God, mine was... I had mine from a sling, and even, as I'm talking like a 1 centimetre thing, I'd get full threat poses from it.
This thing wanted my entire bloodline gone.
Yeah.
It all of us.
It was going for my ancestors, this thing. Yeah,
it was trying to figure out. It was making angry noises in the tub of dirt it was in. Be like, don't go near that one. That one's horrible. She's a bitch. awful.
So beautiful.
It was making up for all the calm ones. It was like, I tell you what I'm going to do, I'm going to up the average.
It was literally like rolling its sleeves up like, let's go, boys.
Half the spiders I keep, people would say, ooh, reputation. Like, I've got a HMAC that I've once, when I got it, it had like a weird missing patch of fur in its abdomen and one messed up spinneret. So to check on it, because I didn't see it for ages, and I know you know when to do this, to check on it, I guided it out of its burrow with a paintbrush and guided it around the perimeter of its enclosure and back into its burrow in a circle. No bolting, no threat posing, no nothing. Calm as anything. I have one of the calmest P. regalis females you'll ever hope to know. As I say, that one Ornithoctonus species just really gave me the business.
It's honestly, it's the Asian species. They're my absolute nemesis, Asian tarantulas.
I love Coelebrachus. I absolutely adore Coelebrachus.
I think they are beautiful, but they just sense... I'm not scared of them.
They're such bastards. They're just the worst. My old female Huahine, absolute dick. Just there's not a cuss strong enough for this bitch. Like, my missus walked past her enclosure and she was slapping, threat posing. Had a burrow, like a 5-inch burrow. She'd webbed up and everything, but chose to come out of her front door and shout at my partner.
Just to have a go at someone. Yeah, literally. That's a little bit cheeky, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, I do like my soft new worlds. I've never owned a Brachypelma. Owned a Grammys. Never. My first spider was a juvenile GBB.
Nice.
Because Spider Shop had like a starter kit, and I was like, oh yeah, I'll get that. It's fine. I like webs, so like, I kind of skipped that beginner stage, I guess. And from there, I was like, oh yeah, webbing species, heavy webbing species, arboreals, all this sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone has their sort of like, these are like perfect beginner tarantulas, if somebody asks. I probably skipped off a lot of them. I am due to get a female B. amelia soon. One of my favorites. I've always loved
them. They're so pretty.
As adult females, they are just the coolest looking. Everyone, you know, Brachypelma are the sort of staple, and everyone has their opinion on the best looking Brachypelmas. But for me, hands down, B. amelia. They're just great.
Yeah, I agree with you. I also have an adult female. She came to me like super, super old, and I had her, and she was called Squishy because she was, you know, when they're just chunky, like not fat, they're just heavy bodied. She was so cute.
They're
just so sort of stout and stocky, and I just love that look to a spider. Yeah. Not these gangly males and all that.
They're proper solid and proper pretty as well, aren't they? They're just very good. They're a beautiful species to own, just to look at now and again. Pretty much like pokies, I think. If you get like
if you get a nice big pokey, people like Metallicas. I'm a Rufalata man myself. I don't have one. I would love a Rufalata for space. My Regalis is, you know, she's due to go into the bigger Exotol soon. Probably after the next molt. I only actually sexed her out as female her last molt. I was convinced she was male. And I bought her as an unsexed, like, sub-adult. And I was like, oh, and I pulled the molt out and did a lap of my flat in celebration when I sexed it as female. So I was like, come on.
My first old world was a P. rufalata. And I raised it from a little sling to a mature male, and I adored him. But I much like you, I would love to have a female Rufalata. I think apart from them and the Subfusca lowland, beautiful.
They were very nice.
You had a Metallica, didn't you?
I had at least one Metallica, and I had another pokey that I can never remember what it was. Miranda. Pestotherium Miranda.
Oh, of course you did, yeah.
And that's very pretty, and I don't see them very often at all.
I love a Miranda. They're not spoke about anywhere near as much as I feel like Metallica and Subfusca lowland and all that, but yeah, Miranda, I didn't really even know what a Miranda looked like until I saw one for sale, and I Googled it, and I was like, oh, with the purple sheen, when they're freshly molted, just gorgeous.
She did this amazing thing where she would because she was fairly near the top of the enclosure, the top of her cork bar upwards.
You did too, didn't you?
You did, yeah. And she would leg it out, bolt out, sit on the side of the enclosure, and then bolt back in, like she just wanted to do it. But she was no trouble. But yeah, every now and again, she would literally bolt out and then go back in. I'm sure
you guys will agree with me in saying that pokies get a probably really unjustifiable bad rep in the hobby, because once you've raised a pokey and once you've rehoused a pokey a few times, for me, they're my most predictable spider, I believe. Like, one that I can know. If on my Instagram, there's a video of me rehousing my Regalis, and it's the calmest thing in the world. Mm. Just a little touch out of the tub, and she just goes onto the side of the enclosure and just sits there for a little bit and then flattens down next to the cork bark. And they were demonized so much when I was getting into the hobby. You obviously heard the online Discord arachnoboards and all that. But when I had one, I was sweating bullets when I got her. My partner unpacked her, and she jumped out of the enclosure onto our bed at the time, because my old exotics room was in my old bedroom, my mum's house. And she jumped out of the bed, and every now and again, me and the partner would look at each other and go, "We don't want another pokey on the bed situation."
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was terrifying.
Yeah. That was also one of my favorite lines from Carry On Tarantula Keeping. "Don't want another pokey on the bed."
I knew that.
I think very much the same with Murinus, P. Murinus. Well, like, I got into the hobby 4 or 5 years ago, and at that time there was so many videos of horrendously aggressive P. Murinus, because people were goading them, and they were getting so many views that they just looked like horrendously aggressive tarantulas.
This is the thing.
It's that combination of people new to the hobby not realizing it's that keeper and that keeper, not that species.
I absolutely refuse to call them orange bitey things because they are as bitey as any other old world tarantula.
And they've been the calmest. I've had 2 or 3 OBTs now, and they're one of the calmest tarantulas I've ever had. And I think it comes down to them being happy. If they're happy and well looked after,
like, secure.
Yeah, they're fine. Yeah.
I've said this so many times. I've got so much worse attitude for my new worlds than any of my old worlds. Anytime my old worlds have displayed defensive behavior or they bolted, it's been my fault. I've done something, I've startled them, or I've not taken enough consideration. But I get little.
You literally got attacked by a Behemori this evening.
I have never, right? I've been keeping tarantulas now almost 5 years, right? And I have never, ever been even remotely close to being bitten by anything. And I've kept everything. I've kept S-Cals, H-Max, I've kept wandering spiders. I've kept the worst of what you can get in the hobby, pretty much, without a license. But I knew you just got tagged by a bloody Brachypelma hamori. I was like, excuse me?
It's always the ones you least expect it from.
Yeah. It probably comes down to that, actually. Yeah, it probably comes down to, like,
people can be, you know, like, I've been guilty of letting my guard down with a lot of my spiders over the years, especially the new worlds. But honestly, I'm looking through my collection now, I can't think of many that I keep that would be classed as sort of beginner species. I have a large female LP, but I got her in a collection that was surrendered to me. Versicolor. Most of my New World Terrestrials, I've got a T Blondie, I've got 2 Formictopus females, and I've got a Laz Sazamai. She's such a brat. She's one of my few tarantulas that will not eat if the lid's off her enclosure.
Oh, really?
Dropping a cricket, she could be emaciated, starving, hungry. If the lid's off her enclosure and there's a cricket in front of her, she won't eat it. As soon as the lid's back on, I'll hear the scuttle of the fangs going through the cricket and go, "All right, okay, just want some privacy. I get it."
I assume she thinks she's in her hide or cave when the lid's gone on.
I don't know. Maybe she just hates me. I wouldn't even put it past her. I've had her for a little while now.
So outside of tarantulas, what would you be tempted to keep in terms of And something in line with the sort of exotic pet keeping. Is there anything you'd be, say, centipedes, millipedes, or something a bit sort of scorpions, so, maybe?
Oh, yes. So centipedes freak me out a little bit still. It's their speed. It's honestly, it's just the way they can traverse. They're just crazy fast. Millipedes are just so soft and lovely. I love them so much. I'd love to keep a set of millipedes, because just chuck, to my understanding, leaf mulch, fruit and veg.
Yeah.
Chuck it in. There you go. Beautiful. Golden.
And they make, if you wanted to have a terrarium, so I used to have bumblebee, millipedes, isopods, and sun beetles in one big enclosure. It was huge, this enclosure. And I had them all, and they coexist nicely. Amazing. Because
that's cool. That's so cool.
A whole ecosystem. That's awesome.
Yeah, because the millipedes, I call them my whole, I don't know why, but you know when your brain just, I call them millipedes in my head.
Okay, yeah.
Anyway, millipedes, and then you've got the isopods, and they basically eat anything. You got the sun beetles that eat fruit, and then once the fruit goes off, the isopods have a field day. So it all kind of works as an ecosystem. But I had a centipede, though. I loved him so much.
Centipedes, again, are quite... I'd rather go for a millipede than a centipede, just because I know they're less...
I can watch sort of centipedes from a distance and be like, that's cool as hell. But if it came to somebody handing me a catch cup and a pair of tongs and going, rehouse it, I'd be like, nah, I'm all right. I'm good.
Yeah.
You can do that. It's fine. Yeah.
Do you know what? It's no different from like a pokey or... I'm trying to think of something similar, because like with a centipede, because they are so they're reactionary and they're fast, you kind of almost have to like catch them with a cup. You can't see that, we're on a podcast, but you know when you kind
have to sort of like hold it in front of them and just wait for them to scuttle in, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, you have to kind of like catch them in a corner of thing. And obviously I wouldn't use that to, it's not an aggressive move, it's just you've got to be quick.
Be quick, you can catch them rather,
because these things are fast. Oh my god, I've so seen fast. The movie. Jeez.
Yeah. And the funniest thing is my sister wanted to see, she'd never seen a centipede before, and I was like, oh, okay, let me show you Sephiroth, he's great. And he was in a glass enclosure, because obviously they find it harder to, they can't climb glass. This thing raised up at a 90 degree angle, caught the top of the enclosure and just disappeared.
Really?
And my sister
I would be out the house, up the wall. I would be in the next county over. I'd be like, absolutely not, this thing is trying to kill me.
Yeah, I got this idea from Jaden, who's got the table, hasn't he? And he built this movable tabletop with sides, because tarantulas, they bolt into a corner, don't they, essentially? And so what I did is I bought a baby changing table, which had sides.
Oh, right, cool.
Yeah, and then there was storage underneath, and I used to have my slings there. Anyway, so Sephiroth, luckily, he caught the end of the side of the baby changing table and just decided to do laps. And I was like, oh, thank Christ. So I caught him. But I said to my sister, like, I would rather have a pokey escape than that thing. Mm. Jesus. Like,
absolutely.
Are they quite bitey? Not bitey, but they've got kind of a sting on them, haven't they? A nip on them.
Oh, they have venom.
Yeah, they're quite. Yeah, you don't want to get bitten by one, basically.
I think it was yesterday that I had a Coyote Peterson video pop up on my Facebook, like, get bitten by a centipede, and his reaction is visceral, to say the least. And I was like, you know what? No, never.
Yeah.
Just no.
Yeah. Because not only do they have that like Asian venom kind of, but they also have very, very big, strong pincers.
They look like they've got some solid pincers on them. Yeah.
So you can't like get them off. I've never been bitten by one, but Jaden had his friend, didn't he? And he got bitten by one. What was his name?
Oh, okay. The guy doesn't do stuff with anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the centipede got out, ran up his arm onto his back and bit his back, didn't it?
Oh, man. Oh, Jesus. Ah.
That must be horrible.
Yeah, to be fair, he took it like a champ, because Jaden was there with his camera videoing it, and he was just like...
It's probably his most viewed video.
Yeah, I suppose if it's bitten you, what are you going to do,
isn't it? If you've got the footage, you'd be silly not to use it. Yeah.
That's it. I mean, I can deal with a tarantula rearing up, threat pose me, slapping, because you just put a cup over it and say, you just think about what you've done.
Yeah.
But one that bolts, my reactions are somewhat not that great. So I just have to put, I have to guess where they're going and put a cup in front of them. That's why I'm thankful that I've never really had any boltings. Threat posing, minimal, but bolting even less. So.
I also know that you are a fan of horror, aren't you?
I adore my horror films, yeah.
Do you think that there is any sort of correlation between horror fans and people that keep things like scorpions and tarantulas and big back spiders? Do you think, not that everyone in the hobby is a horror fan, but do you think horror fans are drawn to that type of pet?
I know that for, in at least in like a certain element, I was. It was part of like a phobia thing for me. I've always been scared of spiders, so I wanted to get over that fear. And by the time I started like really getting into horror was like sort of 2017, 2018. I'd never really been a horror fan before that. And it was part of like getting over like my jumpiness and my fear of being jumpy and scared of horror films. And yeah, I guess it kind of, some of it is a little bit of like a, I like spooky things. Like ghost stories and unsolved mysteries and creepy weird animals. And it's sort of part of that whole, like, I guess, alternative culture, I suppose. That
they're like a there's something living that you can be scared by almost, aren't they? Because, like, I mean, I was terribly arachnophobic. And yet, and if you love being scared, then it's almost like you can have something in your house that scares you. And then it sort of backfires because after a while, you're no longer scared of it because you get to know it and you can't be scared of something you care for.
Yeah, I remember being given my first like adult old world was a P. Regalis. I can't remember how I came across her because she was a full adult, like fully grown. But someone gave her to me. Anyway, and I remember thinking, like, because this was my first adult old world, I was like, oh.
Yeah,
but you like you got it in the box and like you can feel the adrenaline, like you think you've got to unbox it now when you've got the enclosure ready and like you feel the adrenaline going and you're like, I love this, feel it.
I remember messaging you saying, I'm going to get a GBB, am I going to be all right? Remember that?
I was like, you will be fine.
Yeah, that's how tame my tarantula keeping is.
And then you want grasshoppers.
Yeah, that's true. To pokies, baboons, and grasshoppers.
That is literally just 0 to 100. Massive link. Just like, no, that's grasshoppers.
There's a long learning curve, and then all of a sudden I was like, yeah, I'm here now. That's fine. Yeah.
That was literally me. I learned all I could, and then I was just like, you know what? You know what would be fun? Just getting all these advanced species. I think the only one that's on my list that I haven't kept that I would consider like up there with like the advanced stuff is like, here we go. Omophthalmus species.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Vilaspes, Chiodate, all that.
So we always like to ask our guests for something that they don't like about the hobby or something that annoys them and frustrates them, and also something, a keeper that they like to celebrate and somebody that they sort of admire. So you can do it whichever way around you want to. So you can either end with your happy keeper or you can end on the shitty keeping of the week. Yeah. So it's entirely up to you whichever way around you want to do it.
Okay. So keeper I want to celebrate. So most of my like keeping and stuff takes place on Facebook. So I'm sort of in like a load of Facebook groups and helping out beginners and people who message me and say, I need help with this. You seem like you know what you're talking about. Always giving advice, popping out here and there, people in the chat, the BTS group on Facebook, popping a message here and there. A friend of mine called Kaz, law graduate, was in the hobby back in the 90s, got back into the hobby by getting a female Biharida, which I had a female Biharida at the time, and I would give her advice on husbandry because, I mean, Biharida are really simple to keep, but she just needed a bit more of a confidence build. Mm-hmm. And she was like, after a while, there's a lot of exposition, but after a while she was like, where do I go from here? Like, what would you say? Because I feel the itch to get something new. And I was like, Sama payer spaces are pretty cool. And I like Samos. I've got a Samo Pulcher female. She's wonderful, one of my favorite spiders. One of the few that I've raised from a sling to a full adult. And they're bulletproof. And from going from where she was probably like 2 years ago, 2-3 years ago, she's now like got almost every single pair of species in the hobby. And
that's my girl.
Yeah.
And is now going out there and sort of having the confidence within herself to pass on what she's learned to other beginners.
That's lovely.
To help out people, because we were all new in the hobby once, and I feel that everyone should sort of really be afforded the patience to have people not sort of berate them for asking the beginner questions, but to have someone sit them down and say, this is what you need to know, basically, when getting into the hobby. Because I wish I had that. I would have probably not lost a few spiders I have over the years if I had somebody to tell me and walk me through the finer points. As we all know, the tarantula hobby is not without nuance. There's a lot of grey area.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes beginners can overlook that and they want it spelled out for them. And it would be good to have somebody to help people, you know, help them through that nuance and hold the hand and say, it's really not that complicated. Yeah. This is what you do, basically.
Yeah. And like I found on Facebook as well, like people can be so unforgiving. Like, you know, you get someone, I'm new to the hobby, I've got this curly hair and I've completely soaked the substrate. Uh-huh. And instead of people being like, you know, like that's, take that out, let it dry and put some, you know, you don't need to soak it. You know, you get people like, you're killing your tarantula. How don't you know this? This is basic. So I love that your friend is now in a position to give that loving advice out.
I've always heard bad things about Facebook. So it's nice to hear that there are brilliant keepers that are community-minded.
I can understand that some people get frustrated because obviously there are a lot of beginner questions that they hear a lot. Mm. And I've been at a point where I've been like giving the slightest bit of a bite with it, but I've been like, it's okay. They're just, and I'll always try and message that person individually and say like, look, it's a little bit too much to put on like a comment, but here is a little video showing you how I keep my spider.
You find that like people have different ways of keeping, and which is interesting. And you know, you can have, you know, there's quite a few ways to keep Samopaeus that are all really great for them and don't harm them in any way. I am not on any Facebook groups because I found the discourse just too much for me.
There is a lot of discourse.
If you don't keep your tarantula the way that someone else does, then it's wrong. Mm. And it's just, that's just not, in the wild, you don't get one set of conditions.
Yeah. And it's often the people that are most outspoken that are either A, least helpful, and least understanding.
I'm wrong.
Yeah, they've got that sort of bravado about them to think they want to tell someone what to do. But often the sort of slightly less confident but incredibly knowledgeable person that doesn't always feel that they can speak up, but they know exactly what they're on about.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I love Samopaeus.
I love Samopaeus.
I did at one point have every single one. Every single one.
I've got an Armenia coming. That's quite exciting.
I've got an Armenia coming. Yes, been delivered to your house and bought by you.
Oh, bless you. So what we need to know more about Kaz. What's her, has she got an Instagram or is she Facebook only?
Yeah, Facebook only. I don't believe she does have an Insta. I probably should know if you did, but we always usually converse on Facebook. Insta is where is like my sort of vanity platform. It's where I post all my nice pictures. Facebook's when I get to the nitty gritty of like slinging advice to people and all this.
So one's the meat and one's the potatoes. I'm sure I've seen the name Kaz on either. Maybe she didn't do YouTube live streams with somebody. Anybody does.
You're not thinking of Motley Exotics.
Are they called Kaz?
I think it's like hang on, bear with caller.
No worries.
I'm sure I've seen a Kaz on something.
I think they are Kaz. Hang on. Yaz. Yaz?
Yeah, that's different to Kaz.
No, it's but
quite
it's
similar.
You're basically gaslighting me, aren't you?
I'm making a suggestion.
So we can't follow her on Instagram.
I don't think she has Insta. As I say, if she did, I really am.
That's almost like a keeper's keeper, isn't it? It's like a keeper that keeps it for the because I think it's brilliant that so many keepers are on Instagram, but it's just expected that they will. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
It is.
I've never come across a keeper that doesn't have Instagram. It's brilliant.
Yeah. It's nice when you can like have your own community, isn't it? The only reason I made an Instagram is I had absolutely no one in my life that was remotely interested in tarantulas. And I was fascinated. I had to talk to someone.
Makes sense.
This is why I joined all the groups on Facebook. So I was like, there's got to be like-minded people like me who like these animals.
Yeah.
And yeah, there was just thousands. And I've met some lovely, great people. Some not so great, but some lovely, great people through this community who I consider as friends. And
that's
what community's for, isn't it, really?
To
bring people together of common interests and love for animals. And there's obviously, being in the tarantula hobby, you feel so much closer to the sort of, I don't know, I guess hierarchy is not the right word, but like the sort of people you see on social media all over, like the Luke from Spar Spiders, Andy from So Many Legs, Lee from Spider Shop, and Dave Fisher and all that, and you converse with these people, especially, I don't know, Facebook and stuff, and you have dealings with them, and it brings you closer as a community.
Yeah, I think so. I think as somebody with the right attitude, when they join a hobby, when they join a community, somebody with the right attitude that's humble appreciates that there are knowledgeable people that have been long-standing in that hobby, and I think that's why they learn, because they're happy to listen to people that are more experienced and more knowledgeable. I think that's how it works. It's only when you get this sort of the cocky know-it-alls that join a hobby or a community and think they know best that it just starts to just...
They're the lot that get their OBTs to bite them.
Exactly that, yeah. They're the ones that just want views and likes, and that's
it.
I will always love that video. Everyone knows it in the hobby. That Scottish guy who...
He gets bitten.
He literally pokes his OBT into a corner and they get bitten, and he is screaming like a little bitch.
And he does it like... he has to do it a few times before he gets bitten. It's like any point he could have stopped.
Yeah, he poked it quite a few times. And then he does a bite report the next day and he's literally like...
Brilliant.
I just don't understand. I don't understand where love for animals correlates into poking your animal until it's antagonized enough to bite you.
Do you know what I also don't understand is, like, clearly he has no respect for his animals. We know that. But why do you want to get bitten? But on a purely selfish level, why do you want to get bitten by something that is going to hurt, that its venom will hurt?
I think it's like, it's almost like the modern day equivalent of lion taming. Because you know that you can report, you can report like 100 times somebody being mean to a spider or an arachnid or an invert or something on Instagram, and they don't see it as animal cruelty.
Yeah.
So it goes under the radar because people don't care that you're antagonizing a tarantula.
It's not.
You couldn't do it to a dog. If you aggravated a dog, the police would be straight round, or the RSPCA would be straight round.
Exactly. But,
they've got these reputations, and they can goad it into being aggressive and then think they're heroic because they've done it. I think it's
the sort of, I guess, breakdown of like how society views these animals and why the tarantula community is so important in changing how people see them. And I think since lockdown, tarantula keeping as a whole has boomed over the world. I know that sort of the end of lockdown was when I started to research and decided to get into it. And I think maybe more people have sort of softened to the idea. I'm not looked at as anywhere near as much of an idiot or a strange person for keeping them as I thought I would be.
People are like,
that's actually quite cool. Like, what's that like? And all that. Like
when I first got them, I had like friends that were like, I'm never coming over your house again. And I was like, cool, you're not invited.
But now
they're just so like an accepted part of me that like none of my friends or family bat an eye now.
It's doing its job then, isn't it?
And
spreading the positive knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you get bad people in any type of community. I mean, I would like to think I'm in the tarantula community. I'm skirting around the outside somewhere. And then in my life, I'm heavily involved in a different kind of community. But then you find there are bad people in that as well, and they give people a bad name. It's so jarring, because in any community and any space in society, the bad people always give the better people bad reps.
Again, to sort of juxtapose it with dog keeping, it's very, very rarely it does happen, but it's rarely the family dog that kills someone. It's often the mistreated, or it doesn't come from a brilliant home, or it hasn't got what it wants. It's often like the meatier dog that's come from a sort of keeper that wants a dog owner that wants to see it as being hard. It's very rare, and it's the same with tarantulas, but nobody sees that tarantula because they're not out in public with it, but they could have one that they've mistreated into being aggressive, but it just doesn't get, they have to show it on the internet to get what they want from that.
Because any good keeper will tell you the majority of tarantula keeping is quite boring.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Yeah.
They don't do anything. That's,
Their pet rocks for a reason. Like my Formixbus females don't do nothing. I sometimes have to look at them and go, "You're alive, right?"
Yeah.
A little blow on the web, and then I get a little bit of like a, and I'm like, "All right, okay, just checking."
Don't worry.
You're good.
A lot of it is just like people will come around and go, "I want to see the spiders," and I'm like, "Oh well, here's a tub of dirt." I think so. There's web. That's a sign, I guess. Like, how do you know they're alive? And I'm like, hope, I guess, hope and dreams.
The food
disappears.
Yeah.
Tarantula keeping can be summed up with that video about that woman that keeps a horse. Stephen, I thought you were dead. Do you know that one?
No.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's that honestly, video.
You have to show me.
I have to have a look, yeah.
Honestly.
You're just never sure if your beloved pet is still alive.
Genuinely, my boyfriend's parents came over the other day, and his dad wanted to hold one of the tarantulas. And I have... So one is a H. formosus, and she's small and she's webbed herself away. So I was like, she's not coming out. And then I've got a little juvenile albopilosus, and she's down a burrow. And he was like, this is a bit boring, isn't it? I was like, yeah. And then the other one I've got is a G. pulchra female, and she's got like a little hamster house. So I was like, here she is. I got her out of there. But I'm going to redo her enclosure next week. When I've been paid, I'm going to make it all like a bioactive, and there's going to be moss, and it's going to be cool as fuck in there.
Nice.
But what that means is I won't fucking ever see her either.
Yeah.
She burrowed underground, and you'd be like, there's a really nice spider in there. She's actually really lovely if she bombs to fucking show herself.
People just think I'm lying.
She's really happy, really well looked after, but you're never going to see her.
Yeah, the fact that I don't see her really means that she's so happy, and people out of the hobby will be like, okay, girl.
Like keeping fossorials, I have to rely on shadows to see if my H. gigas female is fine.
I had a H. laticeps that I saw twice. Once when I bought her and rehomed her, and then I had her in a really, so it's really cool because what the fuck is the genus name?
Selenocosmia.
No, H. gigas.
Hysterocratis.
Same for the laticeps. Hysterocratis. But there's documented sightings that Hysterocratis swim. Well, they don't swim. They skate along the water. So I gave the laticeps, I gave her a pool, like a...
So
the only time I saw her was once when I put her in her home, and she dug right down the bottom, didn't see her. And the other time was I just happened to go like out of bed like 2 a.m. to go to like the toilet. It was like dead of night, and I saw her at the bottom of this pool, and I thought, oh my god, she's dead. And I saw her legs move, and she walked out from the bottom of this pool.
She just
gone for a swim and just walked out. And I was like, God. Yeah. I didn't have my phone, so I wasn't expecting to see something so amazing.
That was so fortuitous that everything lined up. You all need to go to the loo at the same time as that. Was perfect.
I say I gave her a pool. It was a deep Tupperware, like sandwich box. But it was a pool for her.
Yeah.
And I just saw her. She was at the bottom. I thought, fuck, she's drowned. And then she just climbed up.
Nice.
I would love to do a semi-aquatic set up for my H. gigas. When she reaches full size, I might get like an extra big XO and see if I can sort of cordon a bit off the glass and like aquarium silicon, see if I can do a bit of like a...
It's so cool.
And that'd be an amazing project to follow as well. The building of that would be amazing.
That'll be completely DIY as well. I might take a few pointers from like the people who've done it before for other species, message them and be like, how have you done this? And try and take some notes, but I'm like close to my limit. I want to start more like projects and like found enclosures and do that side of the hobby. Yeah. And yeah, like to do everything on the cheap.
So we're basically going to classify Kaz then as a hidden gem within the community.
Hidden gem.
So anybody that wants to find her on Facebook might be able to in the communities. If they're lucky.
Might not.
Or you might not, yeah. If you come across that, then you're fantastic. You discovered a gem.
Well done.
Yeah. So what about the hobby then? What annoys you? What aspect of the hobby or a keeper or aspect of keeping really grinds your gears?
Oh dear. I could make myself an enemy here, but it's 2025 and for some reason people are still doing stuff that we generally as a hobby know that doesn't work. So this is a personal opinion. When somebody will come on and say, this is my Caribbean Averse Color, it's lethargic, it's not moving very well, here's a picture of my enclosure, and it's sprayed to the high heavens. Mm-hmm. And it's just like... this is maybe just down to the fact that in 2025 as a hobby, there's still outdated literature that's permeating on the internet. And keepers, especially new keepers, will do a Google search. And this is why when people say, well, that's what Google's for, it's like, but not everything they find on Google is going to be good information.
Yeah.
And keeping is a lot different. There was only one website I found that had care sheets on it that were any good. And it was like Mike's Basic. Yeah. They were great. But yeah, it's why you should rely on other keepers, because keeping is so different practically.
Yeah.
I always found when I first started, if I Googled anything, I would Google and I'd look at five or six different answers. Yeah. And if four of them matched up and one of them was completely wayward, but the first one was wayward, then you've got to trust the majority. Yeah.
Cause... You can do all your Googling and all your research. This is why that when I first got into the hobby, there were a few people, I know people sort of like scoff at the idea of like husbandry on YouTube and stuff. But when I started, I didn't know really any better. But I always, always send people to Tom Moran, no matter what. Because
he is the boy, yeah.
I find that when I first got into the hobby, the idea of, for somebody who'd never kept exotics before, the idea of humidity just, it just caused my brain to 404, like error 404, page not found. I was just like, what? But in his way of speaking about it, where he talks about it being the moisture content in the soil rather than the air, and that's how you achieve it. And spraying to a degree, I do dribble water on my VersaColors enclosure, but I'll always keep a full water dish, and part of the substrate will be moist, part of it will be bone dry. And I think that you keep VersaColor on the drier side. Rather than the moisture side, because moisture is more likely to kill them than dry conditions are. And as well, I think this is something you guys have spoken about before. Gutload your feeders. Feed your feeders.
Mm-hmm. And
look after your feeders, because if you look after your feeders, you look after your spiders.
I literally said this earlier to my boyfriend, because he was on his... So we basically share the office, so half of it is like my animals and half of it is his office, and he was at the computer and he was like, why do you do that? And I was like, what goes into them goes into my animals. Mm-hmm. And it's so important. Mm-hmm. He was like, no, actually it makes sense, because he's never kept any type of animals like this, so he just thinks you buy bugs and you feed them to your animals. And I was like you can do that, but no, you can provide like even better. So yeah,
this is why when people get to sort of the point where they're over 20 spiders or 30 spiders and they're like, what do I use to feed them? I will always, even though I don't do it myself, and that's probably because now I have like an amalgamated room, I'll always say the best option is to have a feeder colony. Choose red runners or dubias. And there's loads of like really easy to, red runners are the easiest thing to keep, or so I've seen from people. Like when like Dave does his clean outs and shows up how he sets them up, you can do it for cheap. It's really, really easy. It's a self-sustaining food source. You're saving a load of money, especially if you have like loads of different types of spiders, like loads of sizes. If you're buying like five different sizes of crickets, that's going to rack up cost. Yeah. But if you have one feeder colony of red runners, you'll likely have a size roach for every spider in your collection.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Get like 100, 200 to replenish it every now and again and just keep it going. Yeah.
I like to try to limit my tarantula family to being able to feed them one tub of hoppers at a go. So they're just in, fed, put the box in the recycling. There's no hanging around. Next week, in, fed, gone.
Yeah. That's the sort of like the beauty of having a small collection.
Yeah.
Because hoppers come in quite small quantities in the tubs. Just chuck a load around, 10 spiders, done, gone.
Yeah.
See you later. Have a good week, guys.
But what I'll do now is I'll buy the correct size pack of grasshoppers from Pets at Home, feed the ones I want to, chuck some greenery in with them, and then maybe half a week to a week later, they then get fed and they're done then. That's it. So it works out. You've got to work out what works for you, haven't you? If you've got a good collection or a good family of pets, then you may need your own feeding colony. You may need that.
It's also nice to know, like, because I've only had this happen once, touch wood, but I had a mite outbreak in my slings once, and it came from a local shop to me called Dragon Reptiles. Don't know if we can leave that in. And I know it came from them because at the time they were the only shop I was buying live food from. And the benefit then, of course, is if you have your own live feed, you can control that environment much as possible, and you can be sure that the food you're feeding your pets has come from as safe an environment as possible.
You know it's the healthiest it can be.
That's the thing. So, I know my exotic shop get all their live, their like invert stock and their live food from Spider Shop.
Good.
I know that's where they get it from. So yeah. Whatever comes in will be, and if I order from Spider Shop, I will not get it from.
I like Spider Shop, I tend not to go anywhere else just because once you use something, and everyone has their own favourites, but once you use a certain seller or a certain sort of place to buy from, and you like enjoy the experience and you enjoy what they send you is good, you tend to stick to them, don't you? And I'm very much a Spider Shop kind of guy.
Yeah, for me that's Portsmouth Tarantulas.
No, nice.
Because I don't know, I just had like a lot of good experiences with them.
That's what matters, isn't it? Good experience.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to go to that, because they've moved. They've actually got a shop now, haven't they? But before they had a shop, they had like a HQ. And I was in Portsmouth one day, and I went up there to have a look and a nose. And I actually think I picked up a Chordatus that time. And Scott said, go and have a look. And I literally like wandered around, and I ended up coming out with a Vermingaculus rufus, I think, which ended up being a female as well. I got it for 15 quid. I was like, fucking get it. But it was like a dream. It was literally like tarantulas floor to ceiling, and it was like being in a kid in a candy shop. I was like, I remember being like, right, Fiona, just calm down. You can come to pick up this Chordatus, you can have one more. And I was like, okay.
Trying to steal yourself. That was literally me at the Invert show last year. It was my first ever Invert show, and I was just walking around going, I have too much money to be in a place like this. I saved up all my money for like 2 months, been like, I have like 200 quid here. I could really go mad. And I did. I came over like 11 spiders.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good trip.
I remember my first ever BTS.
So are we saying then that your thing you don't like about the hobby is...
Oh, okay, we'll finish my
story. Oh, no, please.
No, get fucked.
Unbelievable. That's so rude. knowledge that shouldn't exist anymore but still does.
Yeah, I think we're at a point in the hobby now where like there should be at least like a basic standard that we should probably work as a hobby. I don't know how we do it, to put it out there so there's no like needless deaths of spiders from outdated info from the 80s and 90s that we just know is false.
Yeah, that's it. Well, Lee, honestly, we cannot thank you enough for coming on.
Honestly, the pleasure is all mine, guys. I've been a fan of the podcast ever since the early days, and it's great to be on finally. It's great to have a chat with you guys and see the faces behind the accounts. Obviously, I know obviously yours, Fiona. I've seen obviously before on your account, but it's great to see what Rich is all about in person.
Yeah,
Yeah, yeah, you don't. You might get never the odd picture. He's like a ghost.
It'll be from about 10 years ago, before exactly. I turned into a gnome. But you know, I'd love it because we can just like it's the for me. As I say, I said earlier, it's the next step in getting to know a good keeper. It's like it's a genuine pleasure that people will come on and we get to know them more. I very much appreciate it, and this has felt so much more like a chat than it ever has a podcast episode.
Yeah, I love having a chat.
Yeah, a proper natter.
It's, I never need to be given any sort of encouragement to chat spiders. I'll always do it. Just really, it's great.
Amazing. Brilliant. Amazing. Well, we look forward to seeing your enclosure building project.
Let's yes. If you haven't seen it already, the picture of the Balfour enclosure is already up on my Insta. I'll check.
Brilliant. And we'll put out your Instagram details again and point people to where they can see your fabulous posts. And
thank you very much.
Yeah, we look forward to chatting to you again.
Yeah,
thank you. Stuff. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Much appreciate
it. You take care. Bye-bye.